live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. A lot to share. A lot of it dealing with GMOs. Plus, my guest in the second part of our program today from Utah will be Tammy Cano, and she is leading the organization at the grassroots level for the Global March Against Monsanto. It's going to take place in over 400 cities around the world this Saturday. And having lived in California when Proposition 37 to label genetically modified foods and ingredients was defeated in November, she just took it upon herself to raise the alarm about Monsanto's endangering the world food supply and organize a popular dissent against the company's domination of the political dialogue on the safety of our food and a sustainable environment. So later today she'll be on. Also, I'll be announcing a major article for everyone. And I'm going to ask everyone in this audience, please send the article to everyone you know, and also a free film review or free film screening on the same topic. That'll come in the second part. If time permits today, from Black Agenda Report, from Pascal Robert, why Obama will walk away unscathed by the current political scandals. I agree, but we'll explain why. From Tom Engelhart, from Tom Dispatch, Terricide. You've never heard of terricide? Well, now you will. There's a new word, and comes from the Latin for earth, and it has the right ring, given its similarity to the commonplace danger word of our era, terrorist. A legislative laxative on fast-tracking democracy and free trade, Lori Wallach, in Public Citizen. Others I'll deal with, time permitting. The secret lobbying underway to ban GMO labeling laws at the state level. We knew that would happen, but we believe we had the power to stop it. The growing global challenge to Monsanto's monopolistic greed. We need to expose the company for what it is. And I specifically am looking into the background of all of its attorneys and law firms. Be aware, attorneys, be aware. You are being watched, you are being reviewed, and we're going to see if you stepped over the line one iota. Climate change will cause widespread global scale loss of common plants and animals. And from California to Wisconsin, record-breaking wildfire season has begun early. The UN warns of a world without water, clean drinking water. And then from Stephen Leahy from the Interpress Service, stressed ecosystems leaving humanity high and very dry. As you see, today it's about the environment, it's about GMOs, it's about our health. Let's begin. First off, some insight from Christina Sarich, Natural Society. She says that most people are aware the chemicals are not good, but here's the issue. Do they understand endocrine disruptors? Now, this audience certainly does. We know, and I've advocated, don't use plastic unless absolutely necessary, because in the heat, especially in the warmer weather, the plastic is unstable and different chemicals can be released. I even spoke about how many of these released in over 70,000 different chemicals that are known to harm our hormonal systems. These are called xenoestrogens. Now, DDT is a big culprit, as are numerous fertilizers, herbicides, and fungicides used by the non-organic farmers of the world. Well, genetically modified crops are a huge problem because they require large and more pervasive use of these pesticides. Corn, soy, sugar beets, cottonseed oil, zucchini, alfalfa, and Hawaiian papaya are all predominantly grown using genetically modified seed. The liver, as we should know, is one of the biggest problems when it comes to having any of these chemicals in our body, because these xenoestrogens leave the body primarily through the blood and the bile. Now, you can support the liver by eating only organic foods and, of course, increasing your liver cleansing juices with parsley, lemon, turmeric, green tea, and avocado. All are great. And aloe vera. Additionally, we can avoid BHA, which is a butylated hydroxyanisole, and it's used in foods. And that causes an elevation in these xenoestrogens. So when you stop using plastics that leak these estrogen mimickers, it's a good thing. So wherever possible, get off the plastics. Get out of the synthetic. Because otherwise you could have your hormones disrupted, and that makes you more susceptible to prostate cancer and breast cancer and uterine cancer. Also, wherever possible, avoid PCBs, the polychlorinated biphenyls, that are in paints and oils all over the place. I'm working on a list of purely green products by category. I've been working on it for about 2 years. I have over 4,000 pages. I'll probably work on it for another year, but in time, I'll have it ready for people to know what to purchase in every single category of their lives that is completely natural and healthy to use. Now, something that's very healthy to use is oregano. Now, those who care about your personal hygiene, and when you travel, you want to take your oregano oil, and you can take it in a 3-ounce jar, and you won't get it confiscated at the airport. Hopefully you don't have to use it, but if for any reason you're feeling a little under the weather, a cold, a flu, maybe some food poisoning, then you definitely want to use the wild oregano oil. But what if you're just eating a good meal? In other countries, in Italy and Greece, oregano is very common. It's in a lot of dishes. And it certainly seems like a very sensible idea to prepare certain meals using oregano. But you've got to know why in order to want to do it. Here's the why. Oregano translates from Greek as joy of the mountains. Besides being a great source of minerals like potassium and calcium and manganese and iron and magnesium, it is very important as a antioxidant, antibacterial. It also is known as Oreganum vulgaria. And it can be grown in cooler temperatures in the United States and in Europe, where it is grown all the time. It's even grown in Eurasia. The plants grow about 20 inches high, and now's the time to be planting them. They give you a white and purple flower. It has a very aromatic, warm, and somewhat bitter taste, which varies in strength, and it's a great spice. Remember, if you want to make sure that you're not getting contaminated, always put some oregano as a seasoning into a dish. It's a natural antibacterial. It also does a lot. It's a good source of fiber. Oregano has been shown, along with the whole herb, to stabilize cholesterol levels in the blood. And the fiber in oregano binds with bile salts and intrusive toxins in your colon. And oregano's essential oil that contains thymol is terrific. So you want to make sure that you get that into your body on a regular basis. Okay, and always have it with you. Next up, there is a link now between depression and nearly a doubling of stroke risk in middle-aged women. This was an article published in the Stroke, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they took a look over 12 years at 10,000 women from 47 to 52, and found that depression in this age group increased the risk by almost 200%. Quote, when treating women, doctors need to recognize the serious nature of poor mental health and what effects it has in the long term. End quote. So what do you do to prevent stroke? Well, most people take an antidepressive medication or a selective serotonin reuptake medication like Paxil, Prozol. All wrong, in my opinion. First, stop and look honestly. Why are most people depressed today? Right at the top of the list, the stress from an economy that is not changing in their favor. Having made choices that they felt were reasonable at one time in their life, but today clearly are not sustainable. Top among those lists would be not living a healthy lifestyle and then getting sick and not being able to afford the type of holistic medical treatment or even traditional medical treatment that you might require. The number one cause of bankruptcy in 11 of the last 14 years was medical problems. It's a $3 trillion medical industrial complex, and yet we don't have better health care. We're not preventing disease. We're not giving people better options about their choices if they are sick. But this was all written, please remember, the entire Obamacare was written in private by the lobbyists for the insurance industry. They can make about $200 to $300 billion a year in profit because of having mastered to get this through the for-profit hospital associations and the pharmaceutical groups. This Triarca worked on its behalf, always undermining the benefits to the American public. Then, of course, you have the stress of having expenses you can't meet. There was a time when everyone was benefiting from the bubble. I remember going over to my neighbor, an elderly gentleman. He was about 90 years old, and I would always take him over fruit and vegetables. And he was relatively shy, and I always said, please help yourself to any of the fruits, and I have hundreds of fruit trees, and just pick what you want. But he never did, so I'd always pick things for him, take it over for him and his wife. And one day he said, well, I won't be your neighbor much longer. I said, why is that? He said, I have to sell this. I said, why? He said, well, I can't afford the property taxes. He said, the taxes have gone up so high that my Social Security won't cover it. So I've got to move. Don't know where, but I have to. I said, how long you lived here? He said, 20 years. So that is something that people are facing. And one way we face this kind of loss of income security, loss of our homes, loss of our standard of living, loss of our health, is we get stressed and we get depressed. The newest studies show that more Americans in their middle age are committing suicide today than ever before, including during the Great Depression. And that's, I believe, in part because during the Great Depression, most people did not have large debt. They did have large families. I know that my father and my mother, their two families, could not have survived had it not been for the matriarch and the patriarch. My great uncle George, who was an engineer on my father's side, and my aunt Myrtle on my mother's side, took in all the people and had them live for over 12 years on the farm. So they had a roof over their head and food, and they didn't go hungry. But that sense of belonging, that sense of community, that sense of knowing that others were concerned for your well-being was very important. Today we have an awful lot of people who don't have that family connection, and they're stressed. And I guess just one day they give up. And so I'm working on dealing with that, coming up with some new programs, even going to come up with a health support group in about 5 or 6 months on that topic. So on the one hand, we're seeing that there is a link between depression and stroke. So why don't we then, in every community in America, why don't we put some of the money that the Federal Reserve seems to have in unlimited amounts for foreign corporations and foreign banks? I don't want to see any foreign banks given a dollar of American money. I don't want to see any foreign corporation. I don't want to see hedge funds. I don't want to see equity partnerships. I don't want to see anyone in any corporation given a nickel. Because you and I, in small businesses, we who actually support the entire society, we're not given a nickel or a break. We're not given anything but disdain and mockery. So people get depressed. And then they either commit suicide, or their health goes bad, or they double the risk of stroke. So I'd like the people in this audience, at least, to pass on to other people. If you're depressed, understand you should check your blood pressure. And we will be providing some on the computer for free as a public service, de-stress courses that people can take. Nothing to pay. And as long as they have access to a computer, and most do, then at least they can learn some insights from some very bright people that I have filmed, that I'm posting up there, from Bruce Lipton to Dr. Thurman, and that can help people. There are about 30 people. So we're going to do what we can to help people. But now just that link alone is important to know. Now, good information on vitamin C and vitamin E. According to the latest research from the Global Journal of Health Sciences, a major peer-reviewed journal, quote, association of dietary vitamin C and vitamin E intake and antioxidant enzymes in type 2 diabetes mellitus patients, it showed they benefited tremendously. Quote, the research confirmed that subjects with type 2 diabetes mellitus, after 3 months of supplementation of vitamins, demonstrated significantly low level of hypertension and decreased levels of blood glucose, an increase in superoxide dismutase, in growth stimulating hormone enzyme activity, then that can probably reduce insulin resistance by enhanced lowered oxidative stress parameters, end quote. In lay language, it just means when you're taking your vitamin C, and I suggest taking vitamin C 6 times a day. 6 times. Now, you have to experiment, because no 2 people are going to be able to take the same amount. Because of all my traveling and all the time in a car or airport planes, my body goes through an enormous amount of stress. So I'm taking vitamin C every hour. But if I weren't doing the schedule I'm doing, I'd take it every other hour. But if I'm training for a marathon, there's more oxidative stress, so I take a lot more after my workouts. But if I'm not training for a marathon, I would take it, but not as much. Maybe take 3,000 milligrams after workout. But if I'm doing an 18-mile workout on a Sunday, I'm going to take close to 20,000 milligrams spread throughout the day. That means that the free radicals and oxidative stress created by the training are grabbed onto, the majority of them, and then neutralized. And so I get the benefit of the training, but not the downside of oxidative stress that can hurt the system. So for diabetics, take your vitamin C and your vitamin E. And I would suggest taking vitamin C if you're diabetic 6 times a day and vitamin E 2x a day. DHA, very important for us. According to research in the Department of Psychology, University of Swansea in Wales, United Kingdom, in a double-blind, placebo-controlled trial, young adults with a history of aggressive and impulsive behavior supplemented for 3 months with DHA. And, quote, there was a decrease in display of aggressive behavior with the group, and decreases impulsivity as compared to the placebo and as compared to the other groups. So let's say we have an ADD and ADHD person, adult or child, increase their DHA, the omega-3 fatty acids. That's what this is. All right, that's good news. And this was published in Human Psychopharmacology, the peer-reviewed journal. Title of the article, A Double-Blind Trial, The Effects of DHA and Vitamin Mineral Supplementation on Aggression, Impulsivity, and Stress. So once again, good science showing that we don't need Ritalin. Give that hyperactive child DHA and get them off sugar cornstarch, corn syrup, glucose, dairy, and refined carbohydrate, and watch them calm down. Coenzyme Q10 can be very important for multiple sclerosis. According to the International Journal of Neuroscience, Turin University Medical Sciences, a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study involving patients with relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis. 12 weeks of supplementing with coenzyme Q10, 500 milligrams a day, was found to be, quote, associated with increases in activity of the antioxidant enzyme superoxide dismutase and decrease in levels of a comparative control. These results suggest that supplementation with coenzyme Q10 at dose of 500 milligrams a day may benefit patients with relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis. Good study. I would suggest 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day. And finally, low levels of vitamin B6 and iron are linked to panic attacks. This was published in the Department of Emergency Medicine, Tego Hospital in Japan. And they had an article entitled, Low Serum Concentrations of B6 and Iron Are Related to Panic Attacks and Hyperventilation Attacks. Now, I would suggest that a person susceptible to panic attacks consume 1 milligram of methylated folic acid, 1 milligram of B6 methylated, 1,000 milligrams of trimethylglycine, TMG, 20 milligrams of ferrous fumarate or vegan iron, and that will make a big difference. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with our environmental issues, and then on to our guests. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Noll. Now for a two-part commentary. The first commentary is from Pascal Robert from Black Agenda Report. And we also originate a very important program every week on Black Agenda Radio with Ken Ford. Quote, why Obama will walk away unscathed by the current political scandals. I have a prediction about how the current scandals facing the Obama administration, from Benghazi to the Associated Press intrusion to the IRS harassment of right-wing groups, will resolve themselves. President Obama will walk away from all these scandals completely unscathed. The worst that might possibly happen is that Eric Holder will be forced to resign. In reality, even with all the friction Holder's presence causes with Republicans, his exit should be no great loss to anyone on the left not plagued by the vapid diversity con game based upon the politics of redemption, which requires brown and female faces in high places filling mercenary government spaces so the babies have someone to look up to as role models. And this is what we think Dr. Martin Luther King died for? I think not. In the face of Holder's fecklessness on major issues, from investigating and prosecuting banks, to his enabling of the FBI to infiltrate Occupy Wall Street, to his relentless willingness as a tool in the assault on whistleblowers, his presence won't be missed. You may ask, what would prompt me to be so sure that Obama will weather these controversies with minor damage, if any at all? Simple answer. Obama is the most valuable and important tool the guardians of American empire have to implement the bone-crushing agenda that must continue to be leveled against Americans at home and around the world for the benefit of the elite. from increased militarization of the continent through putting U.S. troops in over 35 African countries, to creating a new military doctrine that allows America to attack a country and completely overthrow its regime without any perceived threats to U.S. interest out of pure charade of humanitarian civilian concern, as in Libya, to international war crimes through drone attacks on women and children in countries not in any military theater of engagement with the United States, to sending dog whistles allowing Israel not only belligerently to attack Syria without provocation, risking World War III scenario via Russia, China, and Iran, but also having his administration publicly give Israel license to attack Iran. The Obama administration's ability to carry out the most deadening foreign policy agenda since the beginning of Bush's war on terror marks a profound milestone in American history. Being able to do all this while having a Nobel Peace Prize, while simultaneously having black and brown folk fawning to have you speak at black college graduations like Morehouse College, make Obama's utility as America's more effective evil. Presidential choice unquestionable. And that is the only international front. Let's not mention Obama's endless neoliberal assault on public education through his horrid Race to the Top initiative that has caused a national epidemic of public school closings and teacher firings that some are even deeming as racist. Compound that with his other neoliberal private sector takeover via beyond problematic Obamacare plan that already may deny millions of poor people coverage while increasing health care insurance costs over 30%. Obama's neoliberal government giveaways to private corporations, mercenary foreign policy already make him too valuable to the guardians of America's empire to have his presidency threatened by these abuses of power that have been exposed. Furthermore, we cannot forget Obama's most important role. He is Wall Street's personal protector, ensuring the banks maintain record profits in the age of austerity. After the sequester, he demanded, chokes the life out of the government function, and he threatens to cut Social Security and Medicare so that now he can wryly tout a worthless decrease in the budget deficit while America is still mired in recession despite the illusion of recovery. These are the reasons Obama shall be unscathed by these scandals. Simply put, he is way too effective at assuring the wealth gap metastasizes. In growth, while poverty is at its highest amount since the early 60s, meanwhile, the black community, who so blindly fawn over his soul-deadening policies, continue to cheer, even as he puts black liberation heroine Asada Shukur on the FBI's most wanted list. This is the hope and change we got in America's first black president. I used to quote by Martin Luther King, Jr., who says it all. From Martin Luther King, Jr., quote, "The majority of Negro political leaders do not ascend to prominence on the shoulders of mass support. Although genuinely popular leaders are now emerging, most are still selected by white leadership, elevated to position, supplied with resources, and inevitably subjected to white control. The mass of Negroes nurtures a healthy suspicion towards this manufactured leader, who spends little time in persuading them that he embodies personal integrity, commitment, and ability, and offers few programs and less service. Tragically, he is in too many aspects and respects not a fighter for a new life, but a figurehead for the old one." End quote. And those are the words from Pascal Robert, Black Agenda Report. I'm looking at the clock. I want to get my guest up. I'll just save the other commentaries for another day. We're going to go over now and speak with my guest who is on hold. And Tammy is out in Utah, Tammy Canal. Let me just mention for those of you who are listening, and we have people listening by the tens of thousands, people who are listening on the telephone. That number is 619 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. I also want to let you know you can download the show. You can listen live on prn.fm, tunein.com, stitcher.com, among other sources, and iTunes.com. And let's now say hello to Tammy. Nice to have you this day, Tammy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. I gave your introduction earlier on. Tammy, I want to read a few things, and then I want you to address what I'm reading, all right?
Sure.
This is from the Growing Challenge to Monsanto, and this comes from Kevin Z's and Margaret Flowers and Truth Out. I'll quote it. It's long. I'm only going to read a page to get the gist of it. Here's what it says. The common problem we face is the power of concentrated wealth and monolithic corporate interest. This has created a crony capitalist economy that uses government to further enrich the wealthy at the expense of the people, often threatening our basic necessities of life. A clear example of this is found in the behavior of the chemical and seed corporation Monsanto. Monsanto threatens the world's food supply. This is a major challenge of our era. This struggle is central to the global ecosystem, economy, and energy crisis. Monsanto also pushes poisonous chemicals into the environment and promotes agricultural practices that exacerbate climate change. Monsanto's actions truly affect each of us. They put their profits over the need of healthy foods, diverse seed supplies, and the stability of agricultural economy. They employ a variety of tools to control access to seed and aggressively push genetically modified organisms and toxic chemicals despite serious safety concerns about them. And they accomplish this with great help from the U.S. government. When President Obama appointed a Monsanto lobbyist, Michael Taylor, as the food czar, officially the Deputy Commissioner for Foods, avoiding the Senate confirmation process, which would have brought public attention to the appointment, it was one more example of how corrupted both parties have become by corporate influence. A global grassroots movement is building to challenge Monsanto as more people realize that we are in a struggle for our survival. On May 25th, a global day of action against Monsanto is taking place in hundreds of cities in 41 countries. Monsanto must be stopped before its unfettered greed destroys our health and environment. We urge you to join the effort to stop Monsanto. Monsanto's products increase the use of fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, and water and energy. At a time when the world needs to be making a transition away from the destructive impacts of energy and chemical-intensive agriculture towards local organic food and farming, Monsanto is pulling the world in the opposite direction. Monsanto began as a chemical company in 1901. In the 1930s, it was responsible for some of the most damaging chemicals in our history, polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, and dioxin. According to a Food and Water Watch corporate profile, a single Monsanto plant in Saugat, Illinois, produced 99% of the PCBs until they were banned in 1976. PCBs are carcinogenic and harmful to multiple organs and systems. They are still illegally dumped into our waterways, where they accumulate in plants and food crops, as well as fish and other aquatic organisms, which enter the human food chain. The plant is now the home of two Superfund sites. Dioxin is the defoliant used in the Vietnam War, known as Agent Orange. It is one of the most dangerous chemicals known, a highly toxic carcinogen linked to 50 illnesses and 20 different birth defects. Between 1962 and 71, 19 million gallons of Agent Orange were sprayed in Vietnam. Class action lawsuit filed by Vietnam veterans exposed Agent Orange was settled for $180 million. And a Monsanto plant that made dioxin in Times Beach, Missouri, poisoned the area so greatly the town had been wiped off the map. The entire town. Thousands of people had to be relocated, and it is now also a Superfund site. Consistent with their method of operation, Monsanto has denied responsibility for the harm these chemicals have caused. Their biggest selling chemical worldwide is the herbicide glyphosate, sold under the name Roundup. Monsanto markets it as a safe herbicide and has made a fortune from it. Sales of Roundup and other glyphosate-based herbicides account for 27% of Monsanto's net sales. Monsanto engineers genetically modified seeds branded up as Roundup Ready to resist Roundup so that the herbicide is absolutely necessary for those who buy these seeds. Roundup Ready seeds have been Monsanto's most successful genetically modified product line and have made Roundup the most widely used herbicide in the history of the world. Roundup is toxic, known to cause cancer, Parkinson's disease, birth defects, and infertility. A 2012 European report found that, quote, the industry has known from studies from the 1980s that glyphosate causes malformations in experimental animals at high doses. Since 1993, that these effects also occur at lower and mid doses, end quote. This information was not made public, and both Monsanto and the European government misled people by telling them glyphosate was safe, as did the United States government. In response to Monsanto's denial of this toxicity, Earth Open Source explicitly pointed to studies, including some funded by Monsanto, that show, quote, glyphosate causes birth defects in experimental animals and also causes cancer, genetic, endocrine disruption, and other serious health effects. Many of these effects are found at very low physiologically relevant doses, end quote. And before the use of glyphosate-resistant seed, farmers used lower qualities and quantities of Roundup for fear of killing their own plants. It goes on to talk about all the other things they've done wrong. Your response to Monsanto, genetically engineered crops, glyphosate that is sprayed, and the fact that the United States government, President Obama specifically, and more importantly than any other person in the United States, he has kept Monsanto in power in their positions. He brought them into power against all the letters that we, myself and others, wrote and had signatories giving all the other people who would be highly qualified. He has never once accepted any progressive or populist suggestion to put a single person in his administration that represented the people. Every single appointment is a corporatist. Your thoughts now.
You know, that is a very well-written piece that you just read, and that is precisely the reasons why I created the March Against Monsanto. And you're absolutely right about Obama. I mean, the fact that he doesn't have a line item veto authority doesn't let him off the hook. You know, he needed to send the entire bill back to be redrafted, and by not doing so, it really highlights his lack of ethics. And, you know, as far as the glyphosate and the lies that we were fed, you know, promoting that it was safe and all this, we're really seeing some far-reaching health effects. And I just feel that if we don't stop them now, our planet and humanity as an entirety, and as an entity, is very much in jeopardy. And, you know, we need to do something about that.
Well, first, let me say thank you as a lay person to take it upon yourself to do something that is manifested into a worldwide march. In New York City, Union Square at 17th Street, 50 East 17th Street, Union Square, 1 p.m. For New Brunswick, New Jersey, meet at George Street Food Co-op at 89 Morris Street in New Brunswick. And for a list of other cities and meeting locations, see march-against-monsanto.com, march-against-monsanto.com. Tell us where you're going to be and who are some of the speakers who are going to be around at the different marches.
I will be at the Salt Lake City, Utah rally, and some of our speakers include, we have a veteran speaking out against Agent Orange, who... he's lost many of his friends and saw firsthand the destruction that it wreaked on Vietnam. And, you know, people are still suffering to this day as a result of that poison. We also have a beekeeper because we do feel Monsanto and, you know, the chemicals they spray are not only affecting humans but also the environment. The bee population is down. And, you know, we need bees to survive. They pollinate 1 in 3 bites of food that we eat. So when bees suffer, humanity as a whole will suffer. And we also have somebody from Grow Foods, Not Lawns, you know, because we also want to provide solutions. We don't just want it to be all, you know, despair. And that is, you know, definitely a focal point of this campaign, is to encourage people to be self-sustaining by growing their own food or supporting a local farmer. And really, you know, unchaining the shackles that Monsanto has over us. And, you know, just, you know, we do have Jeffrey Smith speaking at the Denver event, which is pretty exciting because I feel that he's really a pioneer in this whole movement. And, you know, just a lot of people from all walks of life have really united. And, you know, we have doctors and pediatricians and farmers and agricultural students speaking out all across the country at the various events.
Here's one way, Tammy, that they're trying to stop this. This is from PreventDisease.com. It says, secret lobbying underway to ban GMO labeling laws at the state level. A recent amendment inserted into 2013 Farm Bill passed by the House of Representatives Agriculture Committee last week will revoke the ability of individual state lawmakers to pass GMO labeling laws. In response to this blatant violation of states' rights to legislate and consumers' rights to know, the Organic Consumer Association and a nationwide alliance have launched a petition to put every member of Congress on notice. If you support any food bill amendment that would nullify state rights to label genetically modified organisms, we will vote you out. We will throw you out of office. The amendment, introduced by Representative Steve King, an Iowa Republican, is the newest salvo in an ongoing battle between food advocates and companies like Monsanto that create and sell genetically modified and genetically engineered seeds, which grow into GMO crops and find their way into an estimated 70% of processed foods in the American grocery stores. If the King Amendment makes it into final Farm Bill, it will take away states' rights to pass laws governing production or manufacture of any agricultural product, including food and animals raised for food that is involved in interstate commerce. Genetically modified and genetically engineered foods have negative health effects on humans, and supporters of GMO labeling point to studies showing a range of potential risks, from kidney and liver damage to reproductive system. So they're trying to use the power they have for the legislators they have in their pocket, Democrats as well as Republicans and the president, to make a federal law that would prevent all of our efforts at the state level from getting labeling by the state. So we should, every one of us, contact our legislator and say no, 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 to anything that would allow this Representative Steve King of Iowa to get this passed in this 2013 Farm Bill. So we have to do something, and then we have to show up. So, Tammy, thank you for your efforts. And what I'm going to do, I'm on the road. Normally, I would be out and be putting thousands of people from this audience in front of a crowd and to support your efforts completely. But I'm filming every single day. So what I'm doing instead is I'm encouraging everyone in this audience to show your support for labeling of genetically modified foods and your disdain for Monsanto specifically and all that it represents and the GMO movement, the pro-GMO
movement. And, you
know,
labeling is really just the first step. I really feel we need a ban in this country, you know, with the cross-pollination and all that. If we don't get it completely eradicated out of here, it is going to have far-reaching ramifications.
We won't be able to get that immediately.
Let's
do one step at a time. If you overreach on certain issues, you eliminate some of the people who would at least take this step. Let's face it, Tammy, you know what's going to happen if we're able to get just one single state to pass a law signed into law in that state that every food that uses genetically engineered ingredients must be labeled, that food will stop being purchased in that state. 90% of Americans say they will not buy a food if it's labeled GMO. So that will be how we go to the next step and ban it altogether, where we get all the doctors who have been harassed, who've been the whistleblowers who have been attacked for showing the danger. We have scientists from inside the GMO industry talking on the record, and they were gone after. Now, here's what I'm doing to help the cause. As of today, as of this moment, I have put my multi-award-winning documentary that just hasn't even been officially released yet, The Seeds of Death, up on the website to see for free. You can see it in its entirety. There are several places to watch the film. You go to prn.fm, PRN, Progressive Radio Network, FM, PRN.fm. You can also go to Gary Nall TV, Gary Nall, G-A-R-Y-N-U-L-L, TV, on YouTube. And Progressive Radio Network on YouTube, Gary Nall on Facebook, and on Google+. On Twitter, you can go to PRN, that little thing at the bottom, that little line at the bottom, I'm not sure what that is, radio, or Dr. Gary Nall. Yeah, Dr. Gary Nall, D-R-G-A-R-Y-N-U-L-L. And you can, so we've given six different places that you can download the entire film, the trailer of the film, people coming out of the theater who saw it from three different private screenings, and the full feature film. Now, following that, we also have an updated article where we reviewed all the scientific literature on and the history of Monsanto on GMOs and all the arguments they use in California in their campaign to prevent labeling. We turned those questions around and showed you the myths of the questions and the truth of how to respond. Therefore, that big article with all of its footnotes is there also. So now here's what you're getting. For anyone who would like to be able to respond intelligently with facts and scholarship, fully supported, and all of the scholars and residents in my office go over all these reports in detail, and they are sticklers for this. Every single statement has to be supported. My standard is, will this hold up under cross-examination in a court of law? That's how specific the articles we put out are. That's why they're used by lawyers and activist groups and people to get fluoride out of the water supply, because they can't punch holes in the information. It's not just some subjective opinion. So we got the article, and it eviscerates GMOs. Every argument they give, you get the counterargument, because they've shot it all. They put it all into California. They have nothing new. There's no new tricks in their bag. So we nail them here. Then the film nails them, and the whistleblowers are in the film. Everyone from Ralph Nader to Dr. Chopra in Canada, the whistleblower up there, Dr. Vandana Shiva, Jeffrey Smith, everyone and anyone who's important in the GMO movement is in the film. Ronnie Cummins, they're all in here. So you won't want to miss it, because it will tell you the truth. Now then, share that film with every single person you know. Share that on every single Facebook. Just keep blasting out the article and the film. It's free. It's my gift, my public service gift to the world, all over the world. We have people right now listening in England, in Japan, in China. I know, because recently when I was in the city, I wanted to do a open the calls up to Skype, and they were overwhelmed. I mean, my staff had not expected hundreds of Skype emails from everywhere in the world. So take the information, because this is a worldwide campaign. Share the film, share the article. Monsanto and the Pro and DuPont and the government cannot withstand this truth. They must deny it, hide from it, or attack it. And we're fully prepared for any attack they can make. And our attorneys, our staff of attorneys, they're bulldogs. And we're going after them in a major way. As I said, I believe we should all go after the lawyers representing Monsanto and what actions they brought, and look into their background. So that's what we're doing on our side, Tammy, to help the cause.
That's wonderful. And I will also put it on our website so people have access to it another way.
So, Tammy, reach out to everyone. Let us know the results, all right?
Yes.
And I want to thank you again for your courage, your commitment to all of us to help on this cause. It when people say, well, gee whiz, it's too big, what can we do? Instead of throwing up their hands and becoming apathetic, you chose to become active at the grassroots level. And what you've done is really important. I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. It's definitely a collective effort, though, so I appreciate all the support and participation.
You know, my final thought on this, Tammy, you know the biggest environmental outpouring ever was not the 365 campaign, Bill McKibben. It was a 13-year-old girl who was offended by what was happening in India to the exploited children. And she got millions involved in her crusade, and it caused the embarrassment of the Indian government, the multinational corporations exploiting the labor force there for cheap materials, and she was able to stop it. So I look everywhere at the power of the human heart to make change, and that's why I commend this so much. So thank you again, Tammy Canal, for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Again, the march is this Saturday. 400 cities around the world. This one person that you just heard put it all together. Website, march-against-monsanto.com, so you'll know the location closest to you to go there. But why don't you download the film? Why don't you download the article? Pass them out to people there. The more people watch, the more people read, the more facts they have, then they can go to their local news channel. They can go to schools, the teachers who are listening now. You can share this and show this in schools. Parents, teachers can insist upon it. After all, your kids are eating genetically engineered lunches, and they haven't known it, and you haven't approved it, but that's the reality. You have a right to it. Nurses, you can do the same thing in hospitals. What you can do once you define the power that you want to use is really unlimited. And look what this one woman, with no background in the field at all, and has not done anything like this before, and look at how short a time she did this. Good for her. That's how it's happening. As I told you, the environmental movement has sold us out at the corporate level. I have total disdain for all of them. Everything in the future will be the grassroots level, because we're not looking at supporting our multi-million-dollar lifestyles. And they are, and their foundations, and their offices, and their perks. We're just interested in protecting the environment for you and I. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi, and your turn to call in on our talkback segment, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And again, watch the film. Share it with everyone you know. Get it everywhere. Get it to all the different sites you know. You can go to prn.fm or Gary and All TV on YouTube or Progressive Radio Network on YouTube or Gary and All on Facebook and Google Plus on Twitter or Gary and All _ Radio or Dr. Gary and All. So you got plenty of places to watch it, and the article is attached. So you can share the article, show the film. You're sharing the information. And once this gets wide enough exposure, then you've got highly educated, very informed, fully factually backed activists. That they cannot fight back against. That means that you, as a concerned, educated consumer, become more aware and more influential than their so-called experts, who are just industry hacks. Luann Panessi, your turn.
Well, Gary, so many times I get emails from your audience asking, what can I do, what can I do? Well, it doesn't get more clear than this about what they can do. So with all the listeners that you have, boy, if everyone pulls, what a difference we could make. So I have a an article here that was sent to me from someone in New Jersey. And this kind of punctuates exactly what you were talking about with Obama before. Lois Lerner, the senior IRS official at the center of the decision to target Tea Party groups for burdensome tax scrutiny, signed paperwork granting tax-exempt status to the Barack H. Obama Foundation, which is a shady charity headed by the president's half-brother that operated illegally for years. According to the organization's filings, Lerner approved the foundation's tax status within a month of filing, an unprecedented timeline that stands in stark contrast to conservative organizations that have been waiting for more than 3 years, in some cases, for approval. She also appeared to have broken with the norms of tax exemption approval by granting retroactive tax exempt status to his half-brother Malik Obama's organization. So, of course, you know, people are kind of reacting to this. His half-brother, obviously, he was the best man at his wedding, and he has a very checkered past.
But, Luann, all this is really of secondary significance. The real story is this, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire system today is built on a Ponzi scheme. The major corporations want our tax code as complicated in its 58,000 pages as it is, because the major corporations pay little or no income tax whatsoever. General Electric made $6 billion in profits, didn't pay a nickel in the United States. They can hoard $31 trillion in profits outside the United States in offshore accounts. The only way to change anything is to do the following. Have a one-size-fits-all flat tax at the corporate level. Eliminate the IRS completely. It's a fascistic terror organization. You should not have the public fearful of your government agencies. They are absolutely arbitrary. They can do anything they want, and you have no recourse. Eliminate the IRS, eliminate the Federal Reserve completely. Then have one flat tax that you cannot make any deductions. That's it. Whatever your income, you pay 20%, a fair enough amount. 20% based upon the income of every corporation in the United States, which would now be 35%, but we're only talking about 20%, would give $1.6 trillion extra dollars a year. Then you charge a one-time 20% fee for the $31 trillion outside the United States, and you add $6 trillion more dollars. So now you have $6 trillion coming in, and you let those people bring the 80% that they now can use in any way they want back in. You save over several hundred billion dollars based upon not having to have all the accountants and the IRS, etc. That's at the federal level, and that would make an enormous difference. There's no other way to do this in a reasonable way. And then from there, you go through and make your other changes. But at least that stops the nonsense of how people exploit at the political end every agency in there. Because I could show you the Department of Energy that is controlled, the Nuclear Energy Commission, that is controlled by the private nuclear facility management teams and its lobbies, like Ron Emanuel, the president's former chief of staff, and his campaign director, David Axelrod, work for them. I could show you the military-industrial complex that needs the threat of war, or needs a war in Iran, needs Israel to attack Iran, needs us to destabilize the Middle East, needs a Libya, needs a Syria, and shame on some of the programs on non-commercial radio for promoting that it was a good thing in Libya. It was not, and we had predicted what it would unleash, and indeed it did. But it served their needs. So you can talk about every agency of government, and they're all corrupt because they're not serving the public interest. And you can say that we need government to slow down at some point, but it won't. It's not in its interest to slow down or constrict to the actual size necessary to serve the public and to have real public oversight. They don't allow that. They're in total secrecy. These are the real problems. Whether or not his brother or anyone else's sister or someone else's best friend was able to get a status that no one else could as quickly as we could is really of secondary importance. The entire system is corrupt and broken and metastasized. It's an out-of-control cancer, and we had best pay attention to it. Thanks for your call, Luann.
Okay.
Harvey, your last call from Berkeley.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary. Well, you know, there's a saying, we are what we eat, and I believe that human beings are being genetically modified. We're being manipulated by Monsanto, and they can track our purchases if we use credit cards, store club cards, anything, even checks. Our purchases are tracked even when we go to the restaurant. So they know what we're eating, and they buy the information from the stores, and so we're part of the, we are the experiment. So I say, march on Monsanto. That's the way to go. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Harvey. And Harvey, download the people, the video and the article for all the people out in Berkeley. Get it to the campus. Get it to the students. Get it to the activists. Get it in people's hands. Let them read the article, because it will debunk every single pro-GMO argument there is. And let them watch the film and share it, because it will give them a completely different perspective. I am confident that if enough students become aware of how they've been manipulated, either by the indifference and disdain of their own tenured professors, who are more often than not very comfortable in their position. It is a rare one that has the courage to stand out, and there have been rare ones standing out. But like Peter Duesberg at Berkeley, Dr. Sayed at Columbia and others, but get the student aware of how they've been lied to about the safety of their food, manipulated. All right? We're looking forward to that. We're out of time. Thank you all very much for sharing this hour. Now over to you, Therese Lita. Hi, you, Therese.
Hello, Gary. Today we're talking about a showdown over school closings in Chicago and what's behind the president's speech later today on counterterrorism.
Okay, good. We look forward to it. You, Therese Lita, right now. Please stay with us.
You know I can be found. Sit home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. I don't.